Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Listen to the Lord's word to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This was the Lord's strong word to Joshua, the one God had chosen to replace Moses and lead the children of Israel, not just into the land, but also to possess it, occupy it, labor on it, and gain their full sustenance from it. Actually, if our eyes are open today, we could realize that God is speaking a similar word to us as His New Testament people, for He has placed Christ before us and has prepared everything that we might enter into Him and possess Him as the children of Israel were to possess the good land. Listen now to Paul's word in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ. Bob Danker has joined us. Bob, the children of Israel were about to gain the good land, and we are exhorted by the apostle to gain Christ. A real interesting parallel, isn't it?
It's a marvelous parallel, Chris. Actually, God has prepared everything, and He's even given everything. For the children of Israel, He prepared the good land, and He gave it to them. But they needed to cooperate with Him to actually possess it. It's exactly the same with us in relation to Christ. God has prepared Christ for us, and now we need to receive and take what God has prepared.
Bob, let's spend just a moment on this point, because I think it is the parallel here should not be lost on any of us listening. As you said, the good land lay before God. Has now done so much, you know, in those years of history, the children of Israel passing through the wilderness, first getting the law, then learning all of the lessons and really being prepared eventually as a fighting army, a fighting unit. And then all of these tremendous events that we've seen last week, our first week in this life study of Joshua, even miraculous things, the parting of the Jordan River and their crossing over and so many things. But if they were not willing to cooperate with God to actually go in and labor with Him and fight with Him to take possession, it would all be for naught, wouldn't it?
That's right. In fact, that had already happened, as you recall, Chris. The first generation that came out of Egypt, within a short time after they had made the Exodus, they were brought to the border of the good land.
Uh-huh.
And the 12 spies went in to spy out the land. They all should have given an encouraging report when they came back, and they should have told the people, let's go and take possession of the land. But instead, as we all well know, 10 of them brought back an evil report. This shows that God's people were not willing to cooperate with God. God had brought them to the very border of the land, and He was ready to lead them in at that time, some 38 or 40 years before mm-hmm. the time we have here in Joshua, right?
Right, right.
But they were not ready. So God took another period of time where the people wandered in the wilderness so that He could prepare a people who were ready to be one with Him.
That's a parallel to, I think, a number of instances in our own walk with the Lord, our own Christian life. The Lord may lead us to a point where He is ready for us to really apprehend Christ in a much deeper and richer way than we maybe had before. And yet if we tarry, if we slow down, if we're reluctant, He may allow another period of time to go by and some more preparation work until we get back to that point again. Isn't that your experience to some degree?
It certainly is, Chris, and I believe you've accurately described it. God, it seems, is always ready, but He has to wait for us.
Hmm. That's the lesson, I think, is really going to be underscored in the message today. Let's join Witness Lee with the first portion.
In the messages on Joshua one word is spoken repeatedly. That is, to take the good land and to possess it for Christ. That Christ could make us his possession. 2 points are very puzzling. Number one, what does it mean to take the land for Christ? It should mean take the land for us. Number two, how come when we possess the land, Christ could make us his possession? I'm burdened to try to make these two puzzling points clear to all of us. The good land was promised, and the good land was prepared, and the good land was ready to give to Israel. But nothing happened. Why? Because you have something ready to give me, but I'm not ready to take. So my not being ready to take delays you. Just like in the gospel, God has promised the salvation, and God has prepared the salvation, completed it by Christ, in Christ, and with Christ. So the salvation is ready to give to people in the whole universe. But in spite of so much preaching, it seems on this earth, no one would receive the salvation. So God is bothered. He needs some sinners to respond by receiving. And this receiving helps God. Christ is there as the good land, is ready. But no one on this earth is ready to take him and possess him and enjoy him as the all-inclusive good land. Not only sinners would not respond to Christ, even his believers. Millions of his believers wouldn't respond to take Christ and possess him and enjoy him.
Bob, I think most Christians, most believers can relate to what he presented here, the frustration, the sense that, our unbelieving family members, our coworkers, our friends, those we've tried to lead to the Lord, we've brought them to gospel meetings, maybe we've even been so bold to preach the gospel ourselves, and there's just no response. Yet God has prepared everything in Christ for every man, every woman, every child to receive him as their Savior. And yet this frustration does not exist in God only toward the unbelievers that don't exercise faith to receive him initially. How about us and all that God has prepared for us to come and possess Christ and enjoy him?
That's right. I feel that our view of God's salvation and what God has prepared for us is somewhat limited, somewhat narrow. We think perhaps that if we merely believe in Christ, we have our eternal destiny secured. We know we'll go to heaven, or we know we will be saved eternally. That's sufficient for us.
Right.
But actually, in God's thought, his hope is that we would not only believe in Christ, but we would, from the day that we do believe, we would go on to enter more and more into Christ, to take possession of this vast, immeasurable, unsearchably rich Christ that God has given to us. And if we would do this, in a sense, we would do God a big favor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This may be a new thought to many of our listeners. It certainly was to me when I first heard it, that God has a need. God needs people to take possession of Christ so that they could enjoy his unsearchable riches. If we do this, we do it not only for ourselves, but we do it for God. We do it for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose and God's heart's desire. If God cannot gain a people who will respond to him by taking possession of his all-inclusive Christ, enjoying this Christ to the uttermost, then God's purpose cannot be fulfilled. So we can see now that if we would respond to God, we would do something for him as a favor,
right?
In a sense, a favor,
yeah.
As if God needs favors. But he does need
in
responders.
A sense, he does, right.
He needs us to respond to him.
That is a view that can have a very deep impact in our Christian life, in our walk with the Lord, to have a realization that even in his majesty, in his omnipotence, in all that he is, God has limited himself in many ways to us and to his people and their willingness to cooperate with him. That is a very profound thought, isn't it? And as you said, Bob, quite shocking, I think, when we first have that realization.
It is shocking. And for me, when I first saw this, Chris, it was very touching.
Yes.
Because I realized that for my whole Christian life, even as a believer, I had been concerned about my own needs. I need so much mercy.
Yes.
I need so much grace. I need this and I need that from God. But I never had the thought, God needs something from me. And when I first heard this, my heart was very much touched. And I felt, yes, I must respond to God.
Bob, even the great apostle Paul, we read a verse a moment ago from Philippians chapter 3, a few verses later. He says, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue, if even I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul telling us he had to pursue even long after he had been saved, long after he had done all these mighty works and established these churches and the great works of his ministry and his apostleship, yet he has to pursue. How much more do we, Bob, need to pursue?
Oh, we need to be just like Paul. Paul was pursuing until he had taken full possession of the very Christ that God had given to him. He didn't count himself to have arrived at any point until the very end.
What we're going to see in this coming portion is that even among the believers to the church, there is a call today. And that's very much the nature of the message we have, the program we have today, this call that God is sending out to even his people, those who would respond, that they would overcome. To him who overcomes, he says in Revelation, to him I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, that we would be these overcomers. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Paul says he struggled to pursue Christ, that he may gain Christ. But today, who would be like Paul, struggling to pursue Christ? So many Christians, good Christians, real Christians, genuine Christians, seeking Christians, but just to have a routine work, service for Christ, that's all. The routine church life, routine service doesn't work for you to get Christ. This is why in the whole Bible, God firstly tried with the race of Adam. God didn't get through. So God went to another race, the race of Abraham. Then God tried with Abraham, with Israel. God also didn't get through. So God went to another people, that is to the church. And God has been here with the church for 2,000 years. Even at the first century, the Lord came in to tell the church he didn't get through. So he called the overcomers out of the church. And today, the sounding, the calling of the overcomers is still here. 2 or 3 million Israelites, but not many Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the real pursuers of God. Without them, the land was their lying idol. And the giver of the land was also idol. The giver and the land all need someone to get the land and enjoy it. If you would do it, you do a favor for him. If you know the heart of God, you can realize even today, if you pursue Christ, you do a favor to Christ. Today, God wants some Joshua's, Caleb's. God needs some overcomers. Millions of Christians today on this earth. Who are the overcomers? God is waiting there, calling, 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 come and overcome. Who is answering? God's calling.
Yeah, this almost feels like one of those compelling gospel meetings maybe we've been in or even watched on TV when, you know, a very anointed evangelist is touching the hearts of the people listening. And I sit as a believer. I'm affected when I hear this, aren't you, Bob?
I'm very much affected, Chris. This is very touching that God needs overcomers. There were 2 million Israelites came out of Egypt, but there were only two, Joshua's and Caleb's.
Wow.
It seemed that all the others had no interest in what concerned God. They were only concerned for themselves. Now, I grant you, it wasn't an easy task that God called them to accomplish, to go in to possess that land which was already occupied by those Canaanite tribes. They were fierce. Some of them were giants. They had cities already built up and fortified.
That's
that easy. But Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. They exercised their spirit, and they believed in God. And I believe in their heart they were for God. And Paul was for God. So he pursued Christ not only for himself to get the prize for himself, but for God so that God's heart desire could be carried out. May the Lord make us such people who would, in a very real sense, forget about ourselves, forget about our own interests, and realize God has a need today for his people to respond to his calling so that they would be the overcomers, not just for themselves, but even the more for God himself.
Bob, you know, the messages we had last week, one after another, showing what God had done to prepare the situation, to prepare the children of Israel, passing through the Jordan, the type of their old man being buried in the death of Christ, and then the circumcision, which is the need day by day to apply this death to our flesh. But then the feasting that they entered right into a Passover, and then into the enjoyment of the riches produced from the good land. And so manna ceased, and they didn't have to live by miracles, but by laboring with God on the land, they were able to experience the riches of the land to sustain them. And yet, at this point comes this entreaty and this calling, because if the heart is not within us, despite all of these things God has done, then God really is left with no way but to wait for another term, another generation perhaps, and even that the risk is there that we might get passed by, in a sense, not for our salvation, but certainly to really help God in the way that he has laid out to usher in the coming age and a fuller enjoyment of Christ.
That's right. God has given us only a short time in our lifetime to respond to him, and we need to seize the opportunity that he has given to us.
Bob, at the very beginning of this message today, Witness Lee mentioned a couple of things that we passed over in that first section. We're going to come back to one of these striking points, and that is how that not only the children of Israel had a land to possess, but in their possessing and occupying and enjoying the good land, they then became a possession themselves, something that God possessed. And this same promise is before us in the New Testament. Let me read just one verse in Ephesians chapter 1. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. How could we become an inheritance of God, Bob?
Well, we have to possess Christ. Then we will become God's inheritance.
Here's Witness Lee once more.
Now, the second matter is that how could we enjoy Christ? Then Christ will make us his possession. Maya, this is the organic matter. When you take the land and possess it and enjoy it, the land will be your supply. Right? What the land affords to give you will become something organic. Then what the land affords you? The main thing the land affords you is food. You labor on the land, and the land produces food. Then you eat the food produced by the land through your labor. Then that is something organic. We have to know everything we take in as our food. That transforms us organically. If you read the Old Testament carefully, you could see the Israelites were eating Egyptian food. And that Egyptian food gave Israelites a kind of Egyptian constitution. When they enter into the good land, they eat the produce of the good land. So their constitution from that time began to be different. You live on the land. That means you live on Christ, and something will be produced out of Christ. And that will become your food that you eat, you enjoy. And this enjoying, this eating, will constitute you Christ, making you Christ.
Amen.
This is what, like Paul says, to me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
And this kind of enjoyment of Christ to constitute us, to transform us metabolically, then we become Christ's treasure. We become His possession. Is this clear?
He said, is this clear? I think we have a couple minutes, Bob, to help make it clear. I remember quite well when we were on this same point in Exodus. You know, and now I think back, when you compare the children of Israel at this setting now, ready to go in and enter and possess the land, to that nation of Israel, or that nation that had been held in captivity all those centuries in Egypt as they came out and were full of moaning and grumbling, and they're quite a different lot by now, aren't they?
Well, they were very different. They had passed through so much. God had done so much upon them and within them. Now they were ready to go in and possess the land.
And I think, if I remember those messages in Exodus, a lot of the change in the people had to do with the fact that their diet changed.
That's exactly right. As they were passing through the wilderness, God did something marvelous. He changed their diet. From eating leeks and garlics and all kinds of things in Egypt, which basically had constituted them to be Egyptian. They were Israelites, but they were Egyptian in their constitution because they've been eating Egyptian food. But when they got into the wilderness, God changed their diet for the purpose of reconstituting them. And now they had crossed the Jordan. And now if they would go in and they would possess this land, they would labor on it, they would reap the harvest and enjoy the produce, they would be reconstituted further to be a treasure, to be God's possession. Now, this is all in picture form, of course.
Right.
The physical eating is a picture of the spiritual eating, and the land is a picture of Christ. This shows us that if we will enjoy Christ by eating and drinking Him, then we will become reconstituted by Him, to become, in a sense, the same as He is.
Mm.
Christ is a treasure to God, and God wants to make us the same as Christ so that we will be a great treasure to Him.
Wow. That was a quick summary of some of the richest parts of the whole divine revelation, how that we can feast upon and eat Christ, enjoying Him day by day, that results in a transformation that reconstitutes us in something that God even would consider as His treasure, something He desires to possess. Quite a word in Joshua. I tell you, at this point in his life and ministry, Witness Lee's utterance had gotten particularly rich and very crystallized in a sense, hadn't it?
Absolutely, Chris. I believe Brother Lee was entering into the highest stage of his ministry when he gave these messages.
Well, Bob, we have a number of them before us. This is not a long life study. We've had some very long ones in the past. This one is not that long. We have three books altogether that will be combined as a series in this portion, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And those life studies, by the way, are all included in one volume. And so if our listeners would like to get this volume right away, then they can follow with us day by day as we go through these next 20 or 30 messages together. We hope you'll stay with us during this short life study of Joshua and these other books following. The light and the richness here is quite astounding. And so day by day, we'll do our best to help develop it and make it clear to you. And Bob, thanks as always for being with us.
It's a great pleasure, Chris.
And for Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for being with us.